Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. The Buffalo Bills continue to play football. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. An emphatic 31-7 victory over the Broncos sets up a Week 4 rematch.
That's such a funny way to put it, though.
Like emphatic?
No. The Bills are still playing football.
Bills are still playing football, baby. Still alive.
More than other teams can say.
14-win Vikings team? That's a tough way to end last night.
Sam Darnold.
That's a tough way to
end. Biggest loser of the week. He just lost out like at least $100 million.
And it's only like 15 or 16 days ago that like he was being hoisted up by his teammates. Champagne's going everywhere.
Yeah.
And he looked like the king of Minnesota. And like 15, 16 or so days later, you're like, up.
I mean, to be fair,
they might pack his bags for him.
He was sacked 9 times.
I'd argue a lot of them were on him. Watching that game, It was like, Sam, dude, do anything. Move around it. And to be fair, also, and we'll get to the Bills and Ravens coming up here, but to be fair to Sam too, O'Connell, hey, stop throwing deep balls. Stop calling that.
Maybe don't do that. It's not working this time.
Get the ball out of his hands quick.
It's also really funny that the only two losses the Vikings had, or they had 3 losses,
yes.
Sorry. But still, the two losses that matter here are to the Lions and the Rams. The Lions twice, and the Rams twice, technically, if you count the postseason.
That's tough.
Like, and then the one to, or no, I think that's it, right?
No, that's it. That's
yeah,
it. They only lost 3 times.
Yeah. Just tough
luck. First ever 14-win wild card team.
To not win?
They lose to Detroit twice. They lose to the Rams twice. That's rough.
Terrible.
That's rough. And that kind of capped off a really bad wild card weekend. If you were a neutral fan, it sucked.
Hey, I was 6-for-6.
You were 6-for-6.
In
six,
our picks.
But
I picked the two underdogs and you picked all the favorites.
But objectively, like all of the games were bad except for one.
Yeah.
Washington and Tampa was awesome. That was great.
Yeah,
if you were
a
neutral
really
fan,
good.
Though, trying to like enjoy like good football, good games, what have you, terrible. Terrible
and,
games.
Real quick with the Washington-Tampa game, what's crazy is Mike Evans actually played. Like, he didn't get shut down by Marshon Lattimore. Like, he was going off in that game. And I think that was a big part of the reason why it looked so lopsided for so long. And then, obviously Jaden Daniels is inevitable and comes back and wins because that's what the Commanders do.
I don't think
season.
That game was ever lopsided. It just kind of felt like it's going to go back and forth. Lattimore's not getting any stops.
Well, that's I think why it felt maybe a little lopsided. Like if you're watching it, expecting Lattimore to kind of shut Evans down, and then he's the leading receiver with 92 yards and a touchdown. Like like you said, it was never lopsided. It was really back and forth the whole way. It was 10-10 by the end of the first half, 17-13 going into the fourth. But again, it felt like Tampa was kind of like going in the right direction just because of the fact that, you know, Washington didn't really have much for Mike Evans.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, to be fair, Tampa had no answer for Terry McLaurin or Deame Brown, of all people, who was the number two receiver for Washington. A lot of fun that game. Everyone else kind of bad. Hopefully the division round is much better. I do love the matchups. We do have some breaking news, though, for the Bills. It is not too surprising if you've been paying attention to Twitter. We do already have the legend of the game for the divisional round, and it is, in fact, Ryan Fitzpatrick. He will be the legend of the game.
Huge.
When the Bills take on the Baltimore Ravens this Sunday at 6:30. I'm very excited. I thought Kyle Williams did a very, very good job. Fitz, I imagine after him doing the whole video of him shaving his chest hair, will come out shirtless.
He was not shaving his chest hair. He had a pick.
Yeah.
But Jeremy and Joe were talking about that. Apparently on the one podcast. What podcast was it? I don't know. I can't remember the podcast now. I think, but regardless, Fitz said he would shave his beard and wax.
Eric Woods podcast, yes, centered on Buffalo.
Thank you. Yeah, I couldn't remember. It was Eric's podcast. He would shave his beard and wax his chest if the Bills win the Super Bowl.
That's nice.
So.
That's good.
Perfect legend of the game to follow up Kyle Williams. Because honestly, like, Kyle Williams did an incredible job, and I think the only person that could follow him up and maybe do a better job or just as good of a job is Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. I'm more just excited for this game. This is a match. Oh, yeah, this is a rematch, sure. I've wanted since week 6-7-ish. Like, once they got Amari Cooper in, mm-hmm. once their defense got healthy, this is kind of the rematch I wanted. I think it is going to be two heavyweights going after it. I heard Howard Simon on earlier today doing Pick the Bills, and he thinks – whoever wins this game is going to the Super Bowl. I agree. I think both these teams are better than the Chiefs. I think they're both playing better than the Chiefs currently, even with Kansas City sort of kind of finding their mojo a little bit. And I'm excited. I can't wait. I think this game is going to be amazing. And there's storylines galore for both teams, because both teams, you know, the last time the Bills kind of played them, they were down three of their starters for Baltimore. They're just feeling that their defense was terrible in the first half of the season. Now it's one of their best units. And then you have the MVP battle. We won't know who wins it. I think it's pretty – the voting is done, and I think it's pretty much done. I think it is going to be Lamar Jackson. And so there's that bit of storyline as well of Lamar coming into Buffalo with the feeling that he did steal the MVP from Allen. That crowd is going to be ravenous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a night game. It's the last game of the divisional round because it's Sunday at 6:30. And I think it's the best one by a mile and a half.
What's the early game that day?
The early game that day, let me just pull up the schedule here. That is going to be Rams-Eagles.
Ooh, okay.
Which is also good. That's a
good game too. Yeah, that'll be a nice little lead up to the Bills-Ravens game. If you were excited for last week's game, just amplify that by 10, and that's how I feel. Like, this game this week, I think, is going to be really just incredible to watch. It's going to – if you're a neutral fan watching this game, it's going to be amazing. Even if you're a fan of either of these teams, you know, obviously one of them is going to lose, one of them is going to win, but it's going to be a great game, I think, all the way around. The Bills are, fully healthy, knock on wood, with – guys like Matt Milano, Terrell Bernard, Taron Johnson, they're back. They weren't in the week four games. You didn't get to see what they would do against this Baltimore offense. The Baltimore defense is better than it was. So you kind of get to see that in action and see if it can continue. And I think this is kind of a big time prove it game for Lamar Jackson, because he's had so many problems over the past few years with all of these, can't do it in the playoffs, mm-hmm. falls apart in the playoffs. Why'd they change the game plan in the playoffs? Like, all of these storylines. And to be fair, he did win last week, but it was against the Steelers. Like, to me, that was like the Broncos beating the Chiefs.
Yep.
In week 18. It meant nothing. It was a nothing win, because the Steelers looked just complacent the entire time.
I think that's the thing is, for the Steelers win too, like, as impressive as it was, the main storyline from everybody even people who are really big fans of the Ravens, has been just how poor Pittsburgh looked.
Yeah.
Right. So, I'm not saying you can take a ton from, say, the Bills-Broncos when the Broncos looked outclassed, even when the Bills were sort of slow playing it, not getting everything going.
Yeah.
They eventually did and just kind of ran them out of the house.
But even with the win the way it was for the Ravens, Russell Wilson still threw for 270 yards and two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying that's, holy cow, but at the same time, for a team that looked really complacent and kind of dead in the water for most of the game, it's pretty good. Like, it's not bad. Obviously, the big catalyst here is Derrick Henry. 186 yards and two touchdowns against the Steelers, ultimately leading Lamar Jackson to have only 175 passing yards and two passing touchdowns. Mm-hmm. But, it's like I said, it's tough to look at this Steelers game for the Ravens because you kind of got to look at who they were playing. And same with the Bills against the Broncos, like you just said. They're two vastly inferior opponents that you kind of knew that going in. I mean, sure, there was a little more hype around Bills-Broncos because the Broncos are young and hungry or whatever. And mm-hmm. they were good in the first quarter. Like, and to be fair, Bo Nix, I think, had a good game. He just needs more help.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Yeah, I mean, like that's... you hit a point where in the playoffs, okay, you were a year, I don't want to say necessarily a year ahead of schedule. I say that a lot for like teams like them and the Chargers, but you clearly had room to build.
Yeah.
You can leave this loss going, okay, we know where we need to get. We have our quarterback, or at least we think we do, and you can kind of start taking a step forward. I think for either team, Baltimore or Buffalo, it would have been disastrous if either one lost. I feel bad for whoever loses this game now, too. Mike Shope was mm-hmm. talking about it yesterday. I couldn't agree more. With the amount of pressure that's on both of these teams, and I said it with Sal last week, whoever wins is going to gain a lot of credibility in playoff performances, in everything, because all of a sudden for Lamar, it would have been making two straight AFC championship games. Harbaugh, you're beating Josh Allen on the road. I think this would be his 10th road playoff victory as well. He's already tied for the most. I believe he's at 9 now. And so there would be that big buildup of like, okay, like we're okay. And if they win, I have to assume Lamar has played a good game. I have to. Or at least not a bad game. And so that would build his credibility. For the Bills, you're getting past the divisional round. And you've now beaten some pretty solid competition to get there. Bo Nix had 29 touchdown passes as a rookie. You held them to 7 points. Late into the third, they had 5 plays in Buffalo territory. Because their one touchdown come from the big play. After that, they just never could cross the 50-yard line up until late in the game where the Bills were basically like, all right, let's get out of this healthy. I think they went to that a little early, but they kind of turned off the ignition. We're like, we're just going to kind of glide here to the divisional round. But you'd have gone through Bo Nix and then Jackson. And then for Allen, again, it's the same with Lamar. I don't imagine the Bills win without Allen having a great game. He adds another great game to his legacy and is going back to the AFC Championship. And I think for both of these teams as well, there's a feeling you are better than Kansas City. They may have the one seed, but you both are better than them right now. And it, again, it just adds credibility to what they're building, what they're doing, the whole thing. And yeah, there's a reason why no team has gone 3 straight in Super Bowl wins. It's hard to do. And I know. I heard yesterday on Shulman Bulldog too, there was a caller that brought up the idea that whoever wins this game is just going to be emotionally and physically shot going into Kansas City, and that Kansas City is getting an advantage there. I don't necessarily think Kansas City is going to have all that fun of a time with Houston. For as bad as Houston played, that defensive front is still good, and the tackles for Kansas City are still bad. Mm-hmm. And so while they may not play well enough to win, I think they can physically beat up Kansas City. I think they can make them sweat to get there. I think Kansas City will still win. But I also don't totally think that you're going to shoot all your bullets, essentially, to get through this game. Both know the end goal is the AFC Championship. They just got to get through this one.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a kind of an underrated thing that's been so bad for the Chiefs this season is their offensive line. I think there's a lot of the reason why Patrick Mahomes has the numbers he does, which they're still great, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but they're not what we're used to seeing, I guess, and it's kind of heavily impacted by that. So I think it has a lot to do with that. Like, you're right with, you know, I honestly thought Houston was – I thought the Chargers were going to have a little bit more of a fight than they did.
Totally agree.
It just kind of seemed like they just fell apart. You know, it didn't seem like it all came together.
It seemed like a team that – the playoff moment was too big for them. All of a sudden, receivers couldn't catch. Herbert even made some bad throws.
It's not even that big of a moment, though. And that's the part that, like, is just crazy to me, is that you're in a wild card game. Sure, you're on the road.
Yeah, but if you're Herbert, you're, what, 5-6 years into your career, you haven't won a playoff game. The one playoff game you were in is, like, one of the most historic collapses.
Right. I get that. But you have a new head coach. You have a new mentality. You have a new team. You have all this stuff. And it's looked great. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh, for what he is, he's turned that – it felt like he turned that team around for most of the season.
Still, I think he still has.
Yeah, but like, it's that mental hurdle in the playoffs. And sure, it's the bright lights and it's the playoffs and it's a tough test, but like, it's the wild card round. You're going to Houston and you're favored.
Yeah, but I think that does matter. You're in Houston. It's on the road. It's still the playoffs. Look at Minnesota last night.
Sure,
Minnesota wins 14 games. They're never in that ballgame.
No.
Never in that ballgame.
Never. Not even
after
once.
The weird fumble, but not fumble. Actually because he pitched it forward.
And it's also not intentional grounding.
Yeah, they would have made it 10-10 if it counted. I was upset in the moment. I can get it now. But they were never in that ballgame. And that's the thing. I mean, winning a playoff game is hard. It is very, very difficult. Mike Tomlin has not won one since 2015, 2016. You know, coaches go years without winning playoff games. Good coaches as well. It's difficult, and it's not this going to be – you're eventually going to get it. It's why I do still, I guess, give credit to the Bills, is one way to put it. I still give them credit for getting to the divisional round now 5 straight years. They keep winning playoff games. In an era in the NFL as well, you don't get the bye week for the 2 seed. They've had the 2 seed so many times in this run. Usually they should just be starting off in the divisional round if we're going off of any other era in history except now where they have to play these wild card games. You wonder – where the Bills would be if we still had just the 6 seeds and 1 and 2 seed both got bye weeks. You wonder, do they make more AFC Championship games? Have they made a Super Bowl with rest, the whole thing? Last year, I think, is a big example of that, too, because you lost all your linebackers against Pittsburgh in a game you were dominating, but just injuries hit you. It kind of started to feel like that with Denver as well, but it seems like they sort of missed any kind of catastrophic news outside of Ray Davis. He did pick up a concussion. We'll keep eye on that, especially when the Bills get back to work tomorrow. But it's hard to win in the playoffs. And that's why with one game, I think both Allen and Lamar can very radically change how people talk about them for years to come. I think they absolutely can, because it's against each other. It's against a premier opponent. It will get you to an AFC championship game. For Lamar, it will be two in a row. For Allen, it will be the first since 2020. But it will feel like, okay, now you're starting to beat teams in the playoffs. Now you're going on the run. Now the run has started. And you know, the emotional momentum that kind of, you know, builds. You've beaten Kansas City multiple times in a row in the regular season. You've beaten them at Arrowhead. So that kind of stadium and that crowd has sort of lost its luster for how, I guess, people would even think about it. I would say Kansas City would still be favored in either game against Baltimore or Buffalo just because they are at home. But, man, I can't wait. I love that legacies are defined here, and these teams are not the same teams that played in Week 4. I'd even say the score 35-10 is not totally indicative of how that game turned out. It eventually got there, but even if you go back to the failed trick play that kind of like ruined any sort of building blocks the Bills were putting up, there was a chance the Bills were going to make that game 21-17. I'm not saying definitively, but there's a good chance that that was where that was heading. Now, all of a sudden, you are in a dogfight. And for all the bad will you did, without three of your marquee starters on that defense, you're in that game on the road in Baltimore. And you don't have Amari Cooper. Khalil Shakir is hurt. And you're still trying to figure out what the offense is. Now, you know what the offense is. It's a wagon. It is a wagon. Against the third best rush defense in football, Josh, they put up 200 yards rushing. 100 in the first quarter with James Cook. I mean, he was unbelievable. Allen has completely figured out this offense and where he wants to go with the ball. He missed a few shots on Sunday, but then kind of dialed it in. He went 20 for 26. I mean, honestly, if you just looked at the stat line, you wouldn't even think he missed anybody. He was dialed in completely. They go to Shakir. Kincaid and Knox were involved very early. The running backs. Ty Johnson is a weapon for them.
Ty Johnson has been probably one of the best practice squad, waiver wire pickups, whatever you want to call him, like in a long time. I mean, he was just kind of a guy that came in here, and now all of a sudden he's an integral part of their offense, and he has been most of the season. It's not just one game. It's been time and time again you see him, and even Ray Davis too. They both get involved very easily in this offense, and I love that. Like
it is very seamless, I love what James, how they can move through the running backs and each kind of have their role.
Yeah, right, because I love what James Cook does, because he has kind of become that reliable, like, hey, give him the ball, he'll get you 6 to 7 yards, maybe more, you know, we'll see what happens. But then you have Ray Davis, who just runs through your face, and you have Ty Johnson, who's kind of just he's your new gadget guy. If you think about it, like he does run plays, but most of the time he's just kind of out there running around and say, hey, look, there he is.
I love that they finally figured out like the Nyheim Hines, the J.D. McKissick role in a guy like Ty Johnson.
The touchdown that was the Keon Coleman touchdown in the Jets game, that was going to Ty Johnson. And Coleman just happened to be there, and I'm kind of glad he was, because he was able to get up for that. I don't know if Johnson would have got up for that, but you know, it's the fact that he's so heavily involved, and Allen trusts him so much in this offense. That's something that you didn't see in a team that was last year's team. And again, you know, we've talked about it as the season has gone on, how this everybody eats thing has kind of evolved and changed over the course of the season.
Yep,
it is so much different than what I ever thought it was going to be. I anticipated it being, you know, every other bit, not necessarily broken down like this, but to put it in the simplest form, every week somebody else is going to be going off and there's going to be no one person in charge. And that's, you know, it is, there's no one person in charge, but it's so much more fluid than I ever expected. It's so, and it works so well. Right?
It feels like, very natural.
Yeah, it doesn't like feel forced. It doesn't feel like
everyone knows their roles.
Yeah.
Again, Cooper is a guy who, against Patrick Surtain, gets what, like one target? Mm-hmm. But you can even feel his presence in the offense of it's dragging away a corner.
Yeah.
It's dragging away coverage to free up a guy like Curtis Samuel, who, by the way, two straight weeks he has actually led the Bills in receiving yards. He led the Bills against the Patriots. He led them this week, albeit kind of one big play,
right?
But still, he's wide open.
Yeah,
it was a design play. Allen gets it to him, and then he makes it work.
And to be fair, like the throw from Allen to find him was great, but the yards after catch, where he breaks three guys, he breaks a tackle, and he also gets past two defenders to get to the end zone. Like that in itself is impressive for a guy that hasn't had to do much this season. Has kind of struggled with injuries and things like that. So just seeing how locked in these guys are, even if they're not part of the game or not part of the game plan that day, that's how you can see that. Like, let's say that was Curtis Samuel's only catch or only target of the day. Just to have that happen on one play, like, that's impressive. And how many teams can say that that, you know, is their game plan, right? Like, sure, that happens where, you know, your third receiver or your fourth receiver catches a ball and makes a good play and gets a touchdown. But how many teams out there can reliably do that week in and week out with whoever is on the field? Like, just because it's not Keon Coleman's week, he could still go out there and boom, in one play he has a 40-yard touchdown and, you know, that's all he's going to do that day. But he put up 7 points.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the thing that I love so much about this offense is you're not watching one guy anymore. You're watching everybody because you know everybody can do it.
And that's the thing, too, and I think why it's so difficult for teams to defend Buffalo now, why like they went on a streak of putting up 30 points and it started right back up in the playoffs.
I was going to say, it's just going again.
You can't just cover Amari Cooper. You can't just cover Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid, or Khalil Shakir, because someone else is going to get open. Someone else is going to make a big play. You saw Kincaid make a big play, Knox make a big play, and it puts teams in a bad spot. And then you have Allen, who is one of the best improvising quarterbacks the NFL has ever seen. And then now you have something the Bills have not had under Allen. You have a top five running back in the sport in James Cook, who can just grind you into the ground, especially with how good this offensive line is, with Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown being two of the best tackles in all of football. Spencer Brown really has flourished and blossomed into one of the best right tackles in the entire sport. It just they went up against one of the best defenses in football and put up 31 on them, and they didn't play particularly well in the first half.
Right.
Like, that's a big thing for me is that in the red zone, they kind of struggled. You had the non-call on Kincaid. You had the miss to Knox. If they hit those, you're looking at a game that's like 38-7, 45-7. You're blowing them out, and it's never even close. Mitch Trubisky's in for the entire fourth quarter, and that's against one of the best defenses in football, third best rush defense.
Well,
the most sacks in the NFL, an All-Pro in Surtain, and it did not matter.
I pulled up some of the defensive rankings for this season. The best rushing defense in the NFL is the Ravens.
Okay,
and they have given up 80 yards per game, best in the NFL at that. However, on the opposite end of things, they're the second worst against pass defense.
Still?
Wow. Yeah, still. I mean, that could be. I was going to ask you, do you think that's inflated because of how kind of poor the first half of the year was? Because the first half of the year for the Ravens was not good in terms of defense.
I feel like everything I've seen is just like they're like top five in like every category now.
I mean, this is like overall the entire season compared to everybody in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So, again, if it's a yards per game, it might be a little inflated because of the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So there is that, but they are the best rushing defense in the NFL. So that is, again, going to be a test for the Bills running backs. I mean, like you just said, the Broncos are third in the NFL, and the Bills put up 200 yards on them in rushing. So, I mean, can the Bills do that this week? I hope so. Because I feel like that was a big part of the game plan this past week was controlling the ball and running the clock, essentially. And I think that's one thing the Bills have done nicely this year is in terms of controlling the pace of play is when they do get a chance to run the ball, they run it and they run it effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And that forced the Broncos to go one-dimensional. If you can force the Ravens to not give the ball to Derrick Henry, that's a huge, huge plus.
It becomes a lot like the Lions game or the Chiefs game where you just have to push it to where they aren't allowed or they kind of can't just give the ball 25, 30 times to Henry. Like
right.
You saw in the Pittsburgh game where they just kind of could lean on you the whole thing. I wonder, too, about their rush defense being more along the lines of they're blowing teams out and you have to pass. And that's why their pass defense scores are so low is that in reality when the game is tight, they're very good. It's when the game gets away and now teams are forced to pass. They get kind of the garbage yards. Blake Bortles, the king of it. I wonder if that's where that – I am interested, though, in just the rushing yards allowed on average, 13 yards better than second place.
Mm-hmm.
They're at 80. The Vikings were at 93.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun matchup. I can't wait. This is one of those games I'm genuinely looking forward to. Like, I've gotten to the point with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't necessarily look forward to those games anymore. And I've said in the regular season, like, I didn't get up for it too much because, like, it matters in the playoffs. you've beaten him in the regular season, what, 3 years in a row? I'm good. I'm done. I need him to see him beat them in the playoffs. With the postseason now, it's kind of like there's just this constant nervousness for me with KC because like, you just expect Mahomes to have a banger. Like you just assume he's going to have 280 yards at minimum, three touchdowns, no picks, and some freaky plays that just have you just mouth on the floor.
Yeah.
The same is not with Lamar. I'm not saying I expect him to have a bad game. I don't expect him, though, to have an amazing game. Like I mentioned, like for them to win, I think he has to have a great game. He has to match Allen.
Like I said, look at last week. I mean, sure, you're playing a bad Pittsburgh team. He only throws for 175 yards, but on 21 attempts, 16 completions.
They didn't need to pass.
Right.
They didn't
but
need
at
to
the
pass.
Same
but even
time,
then, it's it, but you that's what I mean. You look at the Steelers team though, what fight did they give them?
Right.
None.
Yeah.
None.
His leading receiver had 53 yards.
They gave them no fight, and we don't know if Zay Flowers is going to be good to go. We mm-hmm. just don't.
Yeah.
The Ravens don't sound all that confident. Listen to Adam Schefter yesterday on Pat McAfee. You know, he's saying there's a chance, but he's trying to be like as kind of polite about it as possible. Like, sure, there's a chance. Maybe we'll see.
There's always a chance, but
I'm excited for this matchup. I think the Bills match up incredibly well. I think this could be the game of the season, regardless of who wins in the Super Bowl and the championship games, the whole thing. This feels like Ali Frazier, Celtics, Lakers, prime time. And I think especially, too, because there has become animosity between the fan bases with the MVP discourse and all that, I think it's going to be electric, especially later this week, Thursday, Friday, and into the weekend. 803-0550, the number to call. How are we feeling about Bills and Ravens this Sunday at 6:30? Do the three defensive players returning, Milano, Bernard, and Johnson, play a huge difference in how you feel about this game? I think it does. We'll jump into that a little bit more after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.